Well, our boat is back in home waters, tucked up in lovely Dartmouth. But I would be lying if I told you that it is possible for any boat to sail 18,000 miles over 2 years from Brixham to Cape Horn and back without a bit of attrition, even under the supervisory skippership of my careful husband, Paul. On returning to the boat to tidy up after a restorative few days at home, he sent a thoughtful text. At Sainsbury's Newton Abbot, where I stocked up before leaving Brixham, my circumnavigation of Cape Horn is now completed. This was followed by a list of repairs that included a torn spray hood, broken fridge, even more broken radio, damaged bow, mildewed bedding, knackered life ring, missing dinghy cut adrift in a gale off the Azores, and £300 worth of power tools ruined in a flooded lockup. But at least boat and man have had their money's worth of adventure, making the losses honourable. The best moment was when Paul took a jib sheet car to be fixed. "Cool, I don't see many problems with those," said the yard guy, puzzled. "Oh," said Paul lightly, "it broke off in a squall up the Beagle Channel." Cue respectful nods. It set us thinking about the pleasure of breakage bragging. The Beagle Channel jib car was a good one, like the time we bought our last boat, Aisha, and the surveyor noticed scrape marks along the hull. We assured him they were caused not by some routine marina ding, but by icebergs knocking past at night when the last owner sailed to Antarctica. "Tough boat," we said confidently. These excuses must be cherished, because most breakages and losses are more humiliating to relate, especially when brought under the jaundiced, if financially grateful, gaze of boatyard operatives who have seen every folly. Paul's Beagle Channel jib car moment made up for the time long ago when he had to admit that a bent pulpit was caused by his wife colliding with a Cornish crabber which had snuck invisibly under the Genoa while she was at the helm, because she was distracted by him having a tantrum trying to get his safety harness untangled. Or all the times we've had to replace boat hooks lost after tussles with visitors' moorings, or tried to get a radio fixed after immersion in water, which shouldn't have come in if someone had remembered about the galley seacock. YM's confessional has always collected many such humiliations, but there are plenty more wherever harassed and clumsy yachties gather over a few drinks. Having duly bigged up their summer voyages, they start admitting to the expensive kit ruined or lost over the summer. Fenders that burst in an uncontrolled docking manoeuvre, £30 a pop, literally. Other fenders which worked loose and floated away when some fool left them tied on at sea. Cockpit cushions newly upholstered and taken on deck for Tracy's school friend to sunbathe on, which became so slick with suntan oil that they slid unnoticed into the fast-flowing tide when the school friend jumped up to squeal at a porpoise. Dinghy oars which snapped due to undesigned use of emergency push-offs. Winch handles left in the socket and flipped overboard by a flailing jib sheet. A main sheet gnawed through by a bored Labrador puppy. Or somebody's handheld GPS that slipped off the seat and fell into a cockpit awash with water because the drain was blocked with toasted cheese. See what I mean? Expensive troubles are sweeter to relate at the club bar if caused by exotic squalls, southern ocean knockdowns, piracy, or windward thrashers around the fastnet.